What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You and Phil were gushing about the Ravens last night, man. You could not tongue-bathe the Ravens enough last night.
Tongue-bathe?
You were tongue-bathed in the Ravens.
I wasn't tongue-bathing.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Anyone.
Yes, you were.
I just told you, I just think that Philadelphia, the Ravens, and I guess I would throw the Lions in there, but the Lions have problems on defense just with all the injuries that they have, are three of the biggest offensive groups in the NFL.
All right, let's get some calls in, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Orlando in Queens. What's going on, Orlando?
Hey, Gio, Boomer.
What's
Listen,
up, man?
I love you guys. I was on a few years back on a Friday talking about Boomer's rags and how he continuously uses them.
I remember that, but, yes, that you were...
Yeah, we had a whole rag discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to get your guys' opinion about the Giants trading for Joe Milton from the Patriots.
Yeah.
And giving up that third pick.
No, it wouldn't take the third pick.
It wouldn't take the third pick, but I don't think the Patriots are going to want to trade Joe Milton this year. They're not going to want to do that. You know, we were talking about Joe Milton last night. Now, he had a good game. It was against a Buffalo team that didn't play a lot of their guys and probably played pretty pedestrian type of football almost. Thanks for the call, Orlando. I just don't. They're not going to trade him yet. And maybe when they get a look at him again on the practice field, and if there's some sense that he looks like he's showing up Drake May, or Drake May has some sort of issue or something, then maybe I could see them trading him to just get him out of the building. But I think that they are very happy with him at the backup quarterback spot going into next year.
So Phil loved Joe Milton prior to what he saw last week, and then what he saw last week put him over the top. You said it was borderline orgasmic for Phil while he was watching him, and you were talking about it.
Yeah, I think he was sitting in his underwear while he was watching.
which is a disturbing thought. But he loved him. Now, we talked about this, and Phil said this in front of a bunch of people yesterday, so I don't feel like I'm speaking out of turn. Phil said that he loves Joe Milton so much that he actually considered talking to somebody in the Giants organization to say, you got to take a look at this. He says he never does that. He said he never does that. He's actually thought about picking up on the phone and saying, are you guys on this guy? Because you really should be. And the other thing he said that you alluded to was that he's super confident and says it all the time. So there could be an issue there where he thinks or knows in his mind he's better than Drake May, and causes a little bit of a problem. And then Vrabes is going to be like, all right, listen, you either shut up or we ship you out of here because Drake May is our guy. So maybe then he could shake loose from that organization.
So everybody in the league knows everybody's roster. They know who's playing where. That's why, you know, that's why when somebody gets hurt, they know who to pluck off of somebody's practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
So they, believe me, Joe Milton is extremely well thought of and is known about in the NFL. There's no question about that. But a first-round draft pick for him
No,
that's not happening.
I mean,
he was a sixth-round draft pick this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think like the highest you could possibly offer would be a fourth. The highest.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's not going to happen this offseason.
Let's go to Rick, who is in Queens. What's going on, Rick?
Boomer, Gio, thank you for taking my call.
Ricky, what's going on, brother?
Just a question on the Giants draft. Is it more of a detriment of Joe Shane not choosing properly or Dable not being able, him and his coaches, not being able to develop the choices that are made? Because I don't think Dable and his coaches get enough hit for being able to get the most out of these players.
Well, I think it's, first of all, it's a little bit of both when it comes to these things, but I think it depends on the player, too. Like, you could look at, so Brian Daboll and Joe Shane had a shot at Malik Nabers. They got him. They brought him in, and he had an all-time record-breaking season as a rookie quarterback in an offense that absolutely sucked for a three-win team.
Right, rookie wide receiver.
Right.
I would just say, like, if the Giants had Jaden Daniels, they wouldn't have Malik Nabers, but they'd had Jaden Daniels. Would they be where the Commanders are right now with Jaden Daniels?
They would have 12 wins. I don't know if they would have been that good, but they would have had at least 8.
All right, so again, that goes back to the most important position that you alluded to earlier about these 8 teams, where these quarterbacks came from, and what Jaden Daniels has done for Washington. They're going to end up building a new stadium there. What Josh Allen did for Buffalo, they're in the midst of building a new stadium up there. You see what happens? You start winning. You get the political will behind you. Next thing you know, you got a stadium built.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to find that right guy. And the Giants just don't have that guy, and they haven't had that guy since Eli was in his prime. And they probably hung on to Eli a couple years too long. They tried to do it with Eli. They tried to bring in Saquon Barkley. They tried to say, let's go one more time. And it just wasn't good enough because the other teams around them were younger, faster, and they had better quarterback play at that point in time. And then they made the decision to draft Daniel Jones, and they gave him the contract extension. That's right where the money spot is in the NFL. So you can develop all these guys all you want, but if you don't have that guy back there that is the difference maker, as we've pointed out now with these 8 teams that are in these divisional round games, then it's not going to happen for you. And by the way, the Jets are the same thing. You know, they tried with Aaron and it didn't work. So now they're stuck too. Both teams are stuck. They need presence at quarterback moving forward, no matter who's coaching the Jets. You could bring in Vince Lombardi. You ain't winning with what's going on over there right now, especially if you're not bringing back Aaron Rodgers. You don't have a shot.
Yeah, and just to go back to the caller's question about the development part of it, I really do believe there are some guys that are going to be great no matter what the situation is that they show up in. And Jaden Daniels happened to be one of those guys. Now, Cliff Kingsbury did a nice job. Dan Quinn did a nice job. All those things. Jaden Daniels was going to be good or great wherever he went. And then you go like a guy like Evan Neal, where Brian Baldinger broke it down for you, said there was the worst offensive line play, right tackle plays ever seen in his life, never saw a guy on the ground as much as him. I think Evan Neal just happened to be a guy that was going to be terrible no matter where he went. And then you got most of the guys that are in between, you know, where really good coaching, like Bo Nix, as good as he's been, Bo Nix goes to the Giants this past year.
He's not going to be doing what he's doing.
Hell no.
Because he doesn't have Sean Payton.
Right.
And they have a pretty damn good defense, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
And I will say this about Evan Neal. If they don't keep him here and they don't move his position, he'll probably go by the way of Mekhi Becton somewhere.
Yeah, Mekhi Becton. So that is one of those examples of development with the Jets. So you get Mekhi Becton, who is just a total overweight, underachieving player.
Young, immature.
And just is miserable with the Jets. And then he goes to Philadelphia. They move him to guard. He's in a winning culture. He's around other great offensive linemen. And he is a big contributor. So, I mean, there's no doubt there's a development angle to it. I believe most guys need the right situation. But there's others on the extremes, on the fringes, that are going to be great no matter what, and there's fewer of them, And there's other guys that are just going to be horrendous no matter what.
You know, the interesting thing for the Eagles, they've gone through a lot of changes on that offensive line over the last 3 years, but they're still good.
Yeah, Jason Kelsey obviously being the biggest one, retiring.
I mean, yeah, and then Jordan Mailata goes to left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done an unbelievable job. Now, the Giants, to their credit, have tried over and over and over again to get it right. They've drafted guys high. They've brought in free agents. They have really tried. But again, if you don't have that playmaking quarterback, and I go back to what Brian Daboll said after they beat the Colts. Oh, this is what happens when you have good quarterback play.
Yeah.
You just got to get 17 weeks of it, which is a hard thing to do.
I mean, getting that offensive line, picking the right players, and getting those guys to stay healthy and to stay together has got to be one of the hardest things to accomplish in the NFL these days. It really seems like it's just so difficult. And that's why, I don't know where Mike Munchak is these days, but he was always, I felt like everywhere that guy went, the offensive line was just amazing.
Yeah, the other thing, too, I would always caution against, and I said this when they did sign Tyron Smith for the Jets. I said, not going to be a great signing. He's not going to make it through the season. He's just not going to make it through the season. I guess you're
signing. Never did, you know?
I know that, but you're signing a guy that's coming off of injury that had a Hall of Fame career, and you're trying to get one more season at him, maybe two more seasons. And you get, I don't know how many, what, he played 10 games this year? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but, I'm not sure either.
But when you start investing in guys that are coming off of injuries and they're in their 30s, you know, that's like taking a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
And who's the guy they had the year before? The other guy that they had a tackle the year before, and that guy got hurt.